If the person next to you is not moving, just reach over and get a pulse and make sure they're still with us. So. Yeah. You know, we're living in a time where there are many people around the world that are coming to faith, establishing a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we celebrate that. But at the same time, I can't help but notice there are some who are stepping away from the faith. You might say deconverting, you know, for various reasons. Some who have called themselves Christians for years are just saying, I'm not following Jesus anymore. Now, I've been a pastor for many, many, many years, and I've been with people through a lot of different things. I've always tried to point people to God and to Jesus Christ. I've always tried to help people grow in their faith. And I've tried to love and care and guide people and the church to the best of my abilities. However, through the years, I've seen things that change, and then people change. And here's what hits me as I think about it. Some of the people that I've cared and loved and people that faithfully have followed Jesus Christ, for some reason, somewhere along the way, started questioning their faith, started questioning something that they couldn't get an answer to. And life got tough, you know, they went through some hurt or pain and started having real spiritual doubts. And what's heartbreaking is that some of them, instead of pursuing and going in the direction of God and trying to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ, they've just chose to walk away from the faith. You know, some of them made the decision to walk away. They made the decision to walk away from the church and to walk away from Jesus Christ. You know, we're starting this series, Doubt. Guess what we're going to talk about? Doubt. And I'm going to tell you up front that this is a complex topic. You know, when it comes to doubt, I'm going to challenge you to take a little bit of responsibility, and I'm going to ask you to be open-minded and suggest that some of us, as Christ followers, get this whole topic wrong. And perhaps with God's help and the Holy Spirit's guidance, perhaps we could live our faith in a better way. And I want to start out by looking at a guy, and this guy's a complicated guy, and his name's Peter. The story we're going to look at, it's found in the book of Matthew. Peter had a lot of doubts through his life. I think that's why I really love Peter. I mean, I love him so much because I can identify with him. Now, a little context on the story. The disciples, they're out on a boat, and it starts storming. Jesus had stayed on land, stayed at the shore, and in the midst of the storm, Jesus shows up on the water. They actually see him walking on the water toward them. The disciples, one of them freaks out so much, he goes, it's a ghost. And Jesus tries to calm him down, and he goes, no, guys, it's just me, okay? Don't be afraid. And Scripture says this, Matthew 14, the 28th verse, 29th verse says, Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to the water, to you on the water, he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. Now, a little spoiler alert, if you don't know the story, Peter is walking on the water, and then he freaks out, and he starts sinking and almost drowns. And through the years, anytime I've heard this taught, they're always criticizing Peter for his lack of faith. But I want to go, okay, come on now, give the guy a break. He's the only disciple that had the courage to actually get out of the boat and give it a try. He had faith to follow Jesus, and yet he struggled with his faith. You know, one time he has bold faith, and the next time he's got this struggling faith. Sound familiar? Peter steps out of the boat. He's walking toward Jesus, but when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and begins to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I love that question. Why did you doubt? Why do you doubt? Can I encourage you to take off your spiritual mask for just a moment and just be honest? How many of you have had spiritual doubts? Hold your hand up. Keep them up. Look around. All right, a lot of us. There are some faith communities where people wouldn't be honest about that question because they'd be afraid of being shamed or looked down on because they don't have enough faith. They don't, you know, they've got some doubts inside. And so today what I want to do, I want to attempt to talk to two different groups of people today. You know, people who currently have faith but have some doubts. And I'll remind you, if you have a doubt, it's okay. In fact, real faith isn't the absence of doubts. Real faith pushes through the doubts, whatever they are. And so I'm talking to some of you who might have some unsettled things in your life, in your spiritual life. And then the other group I want to talk to are those of you who may feel led to help someone with their doubts, all right? Instead of questioning their faith of that person that doubts, instead of judging them, you want to help them. You know, you got to show them grace and love, perhaps a little wisdom. And your foundation is because, well, you've had doubts in the past, you know. You realize what that's like. You realize that you are going to have some struggles in the future. And just a reminder to all of us, doubt is not the enemy of faith. So what is doubt? What is doubt? I want to suggest that doubt is oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, a catalyst for growing in your faith. It's a catalyst for moving to a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus asks a question that says, "Why did you doubt?" So if you have some spiritual doubts, let me ask you, why do you have spiritual doubts? Most likely, you have some unanswered question in your life. You found some apparent contradiction, maybe. I hear this often. People go, "Well, the Bible says this here, and then it says something very different over here, and I just can't reconcile it." And so doubt. You know, so the Bible says this, but science says that. Can you feel the tension here? Doubt. I've talked to people that they've doubted some of the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ. They point out that a lot of religions, you know, people are very, very sincere about it. And they'll actually say, "You know, I believe that Jesus was a good person, but I doubt that he's the only way." You know, through the years, I've talked to people that, you know, in fact, large group of people that have doubts because they can't reconcile how a good God can allow pain and suffering. They can't reconcile how a good God could allow things like war and human trafficking and poverty, etc. Or something that they doubt, and it's very personal to them. You know, I hear people, they'll say, "Well, I prayed and prayed for someone that I loved. I trusted God for something, and God just didn't come through for me." Doubt. A lot of doubt. You know, some doubt because they've had some severe wound or hurt. Something seemed unfair, and they just can't resolve that. And so they doubt. People say the reason they doubt is because, and this one breaks my heart, but they go, the Christianity that I read about in Scripture, it's missing from the church today. Why did you doubt? Why do you doubt? Jesus asks the question of Peter, and for many years, this portion of Scripture has just bothered me. You know, ye of little faith, you know, why did you doubt? And it felt like an accusation. I'll be honest, felt like a little bit of a cheap shot. And through the years, as I've kind of matured and I've learned more about God's character and the nature of Jesus Christ, I realized Jesus was always loving. He was always full of grace and compassion. He always wants the best for you and I and for whoever he's engaging. And I think I've read the question wrong through the years. You know, when Jesus asks Peter, says, why did you doubt? What if the question isn't an accusation, but an invitation? It's not condemning, but is actually words of encouragement to Peter. You notice Jesus didn't say, well, Peter, you doubted. You have such little faith. You're going to drown, and, well, I guess that'll teach you, you know. That's not what Jesus said. It's not what Jesus did in that moment. No, Jesus lovingly reaches out his hand, and when Peter was drowning in doubt, Jesus met him in that doubt. You know, when Jesus reached out, he took his hand. And I really wonder if Jesus wasn't even smiling in that moment. You know, I think he was inviting Peter to something greater. Peter, why did you doubt? Where's your faith? What's going on, Peter? You know, I'm here on the water with you. You were doing fine. Why did you doubt me? Peter, remember the loaves and the fishes? Remember the water that I turned to wine? Remember the eyes? Well, they can now see. Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you have such little faith? What if it is an invitation from a loving Savior? That's why when you start to doubt, or someone you love it starts to doubt, you don't panic. You don't freak out. It's not time to go, oh, no, you know. It's time to process. It's time to say, hey, let's talk this through a little bit. If we as Christians cannot handle doubt moments, when someone asks a question, when someone's hurting or struggling or confused, and so they raise the doubts that they have, if we can't handle it, do you realize that person might feel judged? I think it's unintentional. But we actually push people away in that moment. How many of you have ever heard about spiritual deconstruction? And it's okay if you haven't, I'm just curious. Anybody? Okay, all right. A few. So what is it? Well, I'm gonna tell you up front, it's controversial sometimes, even emotionally charged at times. It's not a new idea. It may be a new term, but the idea has been around for centuries. Theologians have done this. And here's an example of deconstruction, just kind of a simple example. Someone gets hurt by some Christian. So let's deconstruct that a little bit. It's easy if you get hurt by a few Christians to get bitter at all Christians. Or maybe one church lets you down, and so you write off all churches. Is that right? Is it? No. You don't have a bad experience at a restaurant, get poor service, poor food quality or prep or whatever, and then boycott all restaurants. Deconstruction allows you to expose what I'll say is a lack of understanding. Deconstruction done really well is actually a catalyst for spiritual progress. And so my definition of deconstruction is a very sincere examination of your beliefs in order to let go of what's untrue so you can grab a hold of what is true. It's a spiritual journey when you ask, is there anything that I hear or believe or am doing that's contrary to the heart of God? And then you let go of that thing that's untrue so you can embrace what is true. You know, spiritual deconstruction done well, I believe, is a form of discipleship, and it allows you to grow closer to God and to Jesus Christ. Jesus deconstructed things. You know, Matthew 5, 43 and 44, it says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That sounds good. It sounds right. Love those that are nice to you. But if they're mean, slice and dice them. Jesus goes, but I tell you, even though you've heard it said, even though you believe it's true, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Sorry for the light show here. We're going to get it figured out. You believe you should hate those who are mean. But in God's kingdom value says love them. Five different times in Matthew 5, you could read it this week, Jesus says, you've heard it said, but I say to you. See, he's deconstructing. Essentially, he's deconstructing what people believe. You know, what Jesus was saying, you thought it was true, but I'm here to tell you that's not what's true. Here's what's true. You know, Matthew 16, Jesus announces to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and that he will suffer and he will be killed so that he can come back to life in 3 days. Peter reacts and he goes, that's never happening on my watch. See, Peter misunderstood. Peter thought that Jesus was going to be a conquering king, not a dying Messiah. And Jesus says this, Jesus said to Peter, go away from me, Satan. You're not helping me. You don't care about the things of God, but only the things people think are important. It's really a hard response. But Jesus begins deconstructing Peter's wrong thoughts. Jesus was actually teaching the disciples in that moment. Peter, you thought that I'd achieve victory by conquest, but I will achieve victory through sacrifice. And in fact, Jesus would go on and define things with the disciples. I think he was defining it for you and I. He says, Jesus said to the disciples, Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for me will find it. See, it was a challenge. It was an invitation to let go of something that wasn't true so that you can hold on to something that is true. And I'm going to tell you up front, and we're just building a foundation today, but how do you build your belief system? It's a simple answer, the B-I-B-L-E. I mean, that's the book for me. And here's the issue, I think, with that. Some of you have built your belief system based on how some church that you attended taught the Bible, based on how your family interpreted the Bible or believed, on some article or book or post that you've read. And my point is, all of us have these preconceived notions. And when you read Scripture, you see things through that idea or that lens. Now, the good news is, many of the things that you believe about God are true, are biblical, are God-honoring. But it also means not everything you picked up along the way is true. I'll just give you some examples. When I was in middle school, I attended a private Christian school. And there were things that were taught that I learned there that were requirements for being a Christ follower. So I was told that if my hair touched my ears, that I was not in line with God. In fact, they said, you're in danger of going to hell because of that. That women were to wear dresses, never wear makeup. That all movies, all dancing, all secular music was evil. That you had to vote a certain way, or your salvation was questionable. I was taught a lot of things at that school. I grew up in a church that talked a lot about Jesus, the importance of character. But we rarely talked about the Holy Spirit. They actually taught us that the Holy Spirit was active in the early church and then went dormant. That there, if you're going to be a real Christian in a real church, you have communion every week. There's only one way to be baptized and come to faith. You know, and how you're baptized will determine your salvation. And I could go on and on and on with things. One day, I realized not everything I was taught was true. Now, I didn't abandon the faith, but I started deconstructing things in my own life. And it wasn't until I started reading Scripture for myself that I realized some of the things that I had been taught really lacked a basis in Scripture. And so I can really remember just one by one, my understanding started shifting, which was a great thing, because I started letting go of things that weren't true, and I started grasping things that were true. You know, the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, I come to realize that the Holy Spirit was not like this distant deity that was dormant, but that God actually gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to convict us, to teach us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to grow fruit in our lives. I realize that the Holy Spirit's with us every moment of every day. But friends, it was a process. a sincere exploration to unbelieve what wasn't true and start pursuing what was true. Again, how do you build a foundation, a belief system? Well, you do it through Scripture, through the Bible, with a sincere objective. Pursue God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And friends, this can be challenging because of what you've been taught through the years, what you've accepted as truth. And this is my best advice. Always read Scripture and look at it through the lens of Jesus. You know, look at how Jesus dealt with things, how he loved and how he treated people, and you know, whether it be the outcast or the lonely or the broken or sinners. It becomes a foundation for you in this journey. I promise you, it will change you. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to realize our goal isn't to always be right. It's to always be loving. Our goal is to be like Jesus. Our goal is to reach people for God's kingdom, to make a difference in this world, which is no small task. And so for those of you who are doubting or dealing with someone that's doubting, I want to challenge you to remember that Peter doubted. He's a great example. He doubted on numerous occasions in Scripture. You know, his biggest step off the ledge, so to speak, was when he denied Jesus. Not once, not twice, three times. You know, some scholars say that Peter, you know, deconverted at that point after Jesus' execution because he ended up returning to fishing. That's where Jesus found him when after the resurrection. He was fishing again. You know, I think he retreated because he'd lost faith. He wasn't sure that Jesus was the Son of God. I mean, he denied, I think, out of self-preservation. I'm not sure I agree with what people have said on that. But I do wonder what was going on with Peter at that moment. I mean, was it a momentary denial? Or was it full-blown denial? I do not know. It's very, very complicated. But here's what I can tell you today. I can tell you what Jesus did with that. It's the same thing that Jesus did when Peter had doubts and he's out on the sea and he almost drowned. Jesus again reaches out to Peter after the doubts, after denying him three times, turning his back, saying, I don't know who that guy is. I'm not with him. I'm not part of that. Jesus forgave him and met him where he was. And three times Jesus would ask Peter, he says, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. Feed my sheep. Three times, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Jesus was making a point here with him. And God used Peter to start the first church. Peter became the leader. He cared for and he guided the early church. And all I want to establish today is a foundation for us as we start this series. You may have doubts. And if we're honest, all of us have doubts somewhere, something. And you can deal with those doubts if you reach out to Jesus. So know as you're doubting, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Jesus is reaching out to you, full of grace, full of love. your doubts are actually an invitation for you to grow in your faith. Somebody needs to hear this morning. Your doubting does not delete your faith. Don't be ashamed of it. You may doubt God. You may doubt that God cares or loves you. You may doubt the goodness of God. You may doubt who Jesus is. Well, it's time to deconstruct stuff and just keep pursuing God. And that's what I plan on doing the next few weeks. I'm inviting all of you to just do that in the midst of the doubts. Pursue God with everything in you and start a process of letting go of some stuff that's untrue. Why would we do that? So we can grab on to some things that are true. Sound like a good swap to me. I mean, doubt is a catalyst, always has been, to growing in your faith. Faith is powerful. We are changed by faith, saved by grace through faith. That's how powerful it is. We are changed by it. We're not changed by religion. We're not changed by getting everything right and perfect. We're not changed by having perfect theology. No, 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 no. We're changed by faith in Jesus Christ. And when you place your faith there, you'll find answers. You'll find strength, peace, understanding. And if we can learn to rest in His power, it could change everything. So, again, foundation today. But it'll get us through the weeks ahead to all be on the same page here. So, let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise You today. And God, we all have doubts. And we just lift them to You right now. Whatever they are. Big, small, just not sure, struggling, maybe angry. God, we give You those doubts. And God, we're going to pursue You. Because You have the answers. God, help us to be a community that just meets people in their doubts, whatever they are. Help us to be people that always point to You, always seek You. God, use us to make a difference. Use our doubts to grow our faith. God, we give You the glory and the praise with all we say and do. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said, amen. Let's stand up. We're going to sing. Let's make a little noise here this morning. So.